Welcome to the Broadband Bunch, a podcast about broadband and how it impacts us all. Join us to learn about the state of the industry and the latest innovations and trends. Connect with the thought leaders, pioneers, and policymakers helping to shape your future through broadband. This episode of the Broadband Bunch is sponsored by ETI Software, your zero-touch automation experts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Broadband Bunch. I'm Joe Coldabella and we are at SRC Live. This event is hosted by the NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association. And joining me is the CEO of the National Rural Health Association, Alan Morgan. Alan, welcome to the Broadband Bunch.
Joe, it's great to join you today.
It's great to have you. It's been an absolutely fantastic, fun event. What's your general impressions of it?
Well, I think it's an outstanding opportunity to bring together leaders from across sectors here to talk about broadband and, most importantly, how do we improve health of rural communities and communities in rural America in general.
No, I totally agree. It's one of those things where I like the fact that you are put in sort of like in front of these folks, so there is sort of an opportunity for them to get educated.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And I think too many times we stay within our sector or our policy bucket and we don't get outside and talk about education, business, telecommunications, and healthcare. I mean, this is bringing them all together.
No, that's the great thing about the SRC Live event. So before we dive deeper into that, I was wondering if you could sort of first give a little bit of background about yourself, because I would love for the listeners to sort of learn about your journey in terms of where you are.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm originally from a small town in northeast Kansas, Houlton, Kansas, born and raised there, the fifth generation. After graduating from the University of Kansas, I worked for...
Go Jayhawks.
Yeah, thank you very much. I worked for the governor of Kansas for a couple years. Worked for a member of Congress for a couple years. I lobbied for 10 years for healthcare interest. But for the last 20 years, I've been with the National Rural Health Association. I've really found a home with the organization.
And so could you sort of give us a broad brush in terms of what the organization does, who you interact with, and sort of your mission?
Oh, absolutely. So the National Rural Health Association is really a diverse membership of individuals and organizations that all care about improving health and healthcare within rural America. And so when I say a diverse group of individuals, I'm talking about more than 95% of the nation's rural hospitals, rural health clinics, and rural community health centers are members. We've got educators that focus in on rural education. We have researchers that focus in on rural policy. We've got long-term care executives, small hospitals, CEOs, clinicians. Literally, if you care about rural health, there's a home for you in the National Rural Health Association.
That's great, because so with such a diverse group, does that allow you to sort of find best practices that you can sort of spread to folks?
Yeah, it's spectacular. I like to talk about the fact that on my board of trustees, I have a rural nurse seated next to a hospital administrator, seated next to a state employee, seated next to a researcher. And honestly, they may not actually like each other, but they all have a shared common interest in improving rural communities. And because of that diversity, they're able to take on tough issues, find common ground, and really develop policy solutions and practices going ahead to help rural America.
Oh, that's awesome. And if we could sort of take a step back, could you sort of frame I guess where we are in regards to rural health? Are we in a good place? Are we in a bad place? Are we is broadband going to be a part of it? I would love for you to give a little bit of a snapshot of that.
Wow, Joe. So it's the best of times, it's the worst of times for rural America. And that's an honest assessment. What I like about rural health today is innovation begins in these rural communities because of a really tough patient population. They're an older population, they're a sicker population, they're a poorer population. And with a higher percentage of them not having health insurance. So those most in need of healthcare services really have the fewest options available. They're in these small towns where the healthcare system is set up for primary care and general surgery. And as a result of this, because of these pressures, You see all the innovation which is happening in our nation's healthcare system beginning in these rural communities.
Really?
The tough situations that small towns are faced with across the country is driving innovation. So you're seeing some amazing solutions that are going to be really rolled out and implemented across the United States as we move forward. So again, it's a challenging time, it's a tough time, but it's driving amazing innovation.
And you know, it's so true that rural communities are the sort of like roll up your sleeves and find an answer kind of communities. And so, when you first said that, I was a little bit surprised, but then on like sort of reflection, it's like, it makes total sense. Rural communities figure out a way.
Oh, absolutely. And let's be honest, it doesn't matter what you're involved with. If you're making a great profit margin and things are going great, you're not going to innovate. If you're struggling to keep your doors open and you're really dealing with health disparities within your communities, you're going to innovate. So you see great opportunities for expansion for broadband, the utilization of telehealth. You see new modes and modalities for delivering healthcare. It's just a lot of great stuff that's happening in these small towns.
So obviously this is a whole new sort of area of medicine. What's sort of been the reception? Because, you know, you hear that since it is an older community, for the most part, that they might not be as open to adopt new technologies. So what's sort of been, I guess, some of the wins and then maybe some of the challenges?
Yeah. And I think that there's a mixed message about adoption. And I think it's generally knowledge for a lot of the older clinicians that are working in these small towns. They're a little slower to adopt technology, let's be honest. That being said, gosh, who doesn't have an aunt or an uncle that are on Facebook nonstop posting?
Sure.
I mean, everyone in rural America that's over the age of 60 is utilizing technology or on Facebook FaceTime talking to their kids somewhere else. So on one hand, you do have a community in rural America that will try new technologies. But seeing the uptake, seeing the adoption, that being said, it's still been slow going until the pandemic.
Well, that's what I just had a chat with Shirley, and Shirley Bloomfield, the CEO of NCTA, and she was saying that one of the surprising results was that they thought that the telemedicine was going to see a decline, and it's actually been the complete opposite. It's one of those things where people are embracing it because instead of going into traveling 5 hours to a hospital or whatever, you can have a 5-minute conversation with a doctor. You can be in the comfort of your home and have a 20-minute conversation and really talk about health problems or health issues.
Yeah. It's tough to find a silver lining to a global pandemic.
Right.
let's be honest there. But that being said, it really has driven the change of healthcare. And it has, we've seen a dramatic increase in telehealth utilization and adoption. And that's great. The important thing is, are we able to maintain it going ahead? And that's what we're all working on right now.
So, I think that's the reason why we're here. That's why I think that the NTCA is doing smart rural communities. Is it because it gives these ISPs an opportunity to go to these health providers and say, hey, listen, we can be a conduit for you guys to serve the community better, but also to be sustaining in terms of keeping the businesses active and profitable.
Yes. How's that for a good answer?
I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the challenge is, and let's be honest, no matter what your background, you're comfortable in what you know. The challenge that I think we have in rural America is to make rural communities successful and viable. It means that we have to get outside of our comfort zone. And so I always say that if I'm at a rural health conference and the topic of broadband, education, housing, and transportation are not mentioned, I'm at the wrong conference.
Yep.
It takes all of those sectors working together. And that's challenging. I know healthcare. I don't know the details of broadband. Shirley does, and her members know it. Conversely, though, wow, I can speak it all day long about telehealth applications and what we're seeing in small rural hospitals and the challenge of clinical care. So how do we bring these two knowledge bases together to improve the situation among rural towns.
And in terms of situations, is telehealth also an opportunity to expand the opportunity for doctors or healthcare providers to reach out to specialists that may that patients normally wouldn't have access to? So you're not only you're basically making it a worldwide thing in terms of just solving problems.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, Joe. I appreciate that. I think sometimes people see telehealth as, well, this is a band-aid to a bad situation. And I can't stress enough, there are multiple situations where utilizing telehealth, you have better quality outcomes, better patient outcomes than if you did not have that available. And so let's unpack that a little bit. Let's start with teleradiology. Almost every rural hospital uses teleradiology.
Could you expand on that? I've never heard that before.
Yeah. So whenever you see, when you're going in for a diagnostic procedure at a small rural hospital, they just don't have the volume to be able to keep a radiologist on there full time.
Sure.
But by using teleradiologists, they can do the diagnostics they need for their community, but not have to keep a full-time a specialty care. And I think that's what a lot of people, we all think about the specialty care access, where you have only 9% of the nation's specialists practicing in rural America, where you have 20% of the population. So that's a problem, number one. But number two, what I think we all want to talk about is what we think about is Jetsons healthcare. You know, the small town dog, you know, in your home talking about primary care. That really is the change that we saw within the pandemic. How do small town doctors be able to meet their patients in their own home? I'm hopeful that is what we see a lot more of going forward in the future.
I think that is a phenomenal point, because I think that, you know, we're focusing on health, but it's just not physical health as well. I think mental health is one of the areas that we definitely need to, especially now, especially the way that there's a bit of a mental health crisis. And I think that, and I was talking to Shirley, and she was like, you know, sometimes folks in small communities don't naturally want to go to their to get mental health, because they don't want other folks to see them at the office. And those, so telehealth opens that up for people to get help and not feel any sense of shame, which is critical.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it really, there are two issues here. One is as you mentioned, the culture in rural America, you just don't want to share with your family, your friends, and your neighbors that you're dealing with behavioral health, mental health issues, which is a different culture than you have in urban areas. This telehealth allows you the privacy to be able to seek this care that is so, so needed right now, number one. Number two, I will say this, looking at the clinical outcomes, behavioral health is one area where people are more forthcoming when they're talking to a screen. Actually, you can see better quality outcomes on behavioral health when you're doing it from a telehealth perspective. They just open up more, they feel more comfortable. And so that's another area where I think it's not a replacement or not a less than. You can actually improve the quality by using this telebehavioral health.
That's fascinating. And is it also maybe because you get a little bit more FaceTime with your doctors as well? So it's not just, hey, let me give you a pill. Let's really talk about the problem. Because sometimes the best solution is that you just talk through it.
Oh, absolutely. And not just a clinician to patient. This whole group therapy works spectacularly when you're talking about telehealth applications as well too. The prevalence of behavioral health specialists in rural America is just horrific. And the fact of the matter is, you're never going to get a board certified psychologist into one of these small towns. You just don't have the volume for it. But through telehealth, you can have one of the state's top healthcare professionals beam right there to you in a small town, and you're getting better quality of care you would normally get.
Right, and then also in terms of, it's so funny, as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. So it really is, we do have a greenfield opportunity here in terms of all the different things that folks can do to make telemedicine a part of rural communities.
Oh, absolutely. Let me give one more example, but then I'll give the cautionary tale behind this.
Okay, absolutely. It's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I think so. One other good example is when you're talking about diagnostic procedures like cancer screenings and the ability of using a high-definition camera there in a clinic with a nurse, applying it with the cancer doc remotely, being able to actually filter out the high-definition video, you can actually get a better diagnostic impression in many cases, number one. So that's great. I've talked about how this can be as good or better. The challenge, though, is we don't want to replace the current clinicians. We're talking about expanding care. I think that's a concern we all have going forward. We don't want to have a situation where you have primary care clinicians beaming into a small town, and those primary care clinicians in the small town now can't have to leave because they don't have the volume to stay there. At the end of the day, we have to have boots on the ground for 24/7 emergency room service. You have to have that.
No, that's a fantastic point. It's I think with everything that we're talking about here at the SRC Live conference is that we need to make sure that broadband is part of the solution, not the solution. And I think that you've done a great job of sort of like laying out like, hey, guys, it's like this is a great opportunity, but there are also some things that we need to watch out for, because from your talk earlier today, it's like there's a bit of a crisis in terms of hospitals as well as other services. Could you talk about that a little bit, please?
Yeah, well, the challenge we've always had is workforce in a rural component. That almost defines rural America's workforce shortages. On top of that, we have a rural hospital closure crisis. We've had 138 rural hospitals close in the last 10 years.
Staggering.
It really is. And unfortunately, looking ahead at the numbers just don't add up. And it's important to note, we're moving out of this pandemic, and we're moving back into a situation where we were before, which is not sustainable for the future. It just isn't. And so we have to look at options such as expanding broadband, the utilization of telehealth, to be able to bridge this gap in many cases.
Yeah, that definitely is daunting. In terms of your organization, obviously you've got all across the country. Are you guys sort of the A/B testing? Are you doing different things? What are some of the things that you and your organization are doing to help move this problem along? Because it seems like if like you're saying is we're going to have additional closings, I think this is going to be a mission critical problem moving forward.
Absolutely. And the problem that we face is, I know this is happening in small towns across the U.S., but we have to understand that among these small towns, 70% of the patients that show up at the hospital are either Medicare, Medicaid, VA, Indian Health Service. What I'm saying is you have to have a great local, state, federal partnership here when you're talking about these patients. No one wants a government system, but we've got a government system when you're talking about 70% of the patient volume already on one of these government programs.
So are you saying is that we almost have to adopt, and please correct me if I'm wrong, almost like a triage in terms of so you don't stress the systems out. So before someone decides to go to the hospital, there's a little bit of a pre-interview, so to speak, to allow a better assessment. So it's one of those things where, oh, I don't feel good. Well, actually, this is the problem. You don't need to go in. Or, oh, I don't feel good. No, you need to come straight in.
Yeah, I would say that, and I would expand upon that. I think there are a lot of innovative approaches that we're working right now across the U.S. involving community health workers in partnership with primary care clinicians working together with the patients. I think having trusted resources that may not have a full medical certification, then partnering with the primary care clinician to say, do you need to go to the ER? Have you got your medicines all up to date? Do you need transportation to your checkup? That does a better job of triaging it. But on top of that, I'm just saying that we have to make sure that both the state governments and the federal governments understand their role in making sure that we ensure access to healthcare in these small towns.
It's a fantastic point. Since we're at SRC Live, ISPs are here. what's one or two things that you would say to those folks for them to engage with hospitals? What, like, what are some of the things that you would tell them to do?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Okay, let me I where to begin. Let me start with three, I think, easy ones.
Okay.
Number one, I'm not sure that everyone recognizes that in all 50 states there are 50 state offices of rural health. These are state employees that their only job is to ensure access to high quality service within their rural communities in their state. They need to be reaching out, introducing themselves to the state offices of rural health.
So that
they're a resource, number one. Number two, there are 43 state rural health associations. Now the state offices are state employees, they can't lobby. The state associations lobby, and they can be lobbying on their behalf, working together towards improving state regulations and legislation to help these small towns, number two. Number three, earlier you also had the USDA on this program. USDA has a vested interest in the future of maintaining rural hospitals across the U.S. And I think it's a great opportunity for them to work both with the USDA and with the National Rural Health Association in making sure that these rural hospitals are viable and access points of care as we're moving forward. So that collaboration with USDA, my organization, the local rural hospitals, state rural health associations, state offices of rural health. It's all about partnerships.
And I think that what the ISPs, you guys need to understand is that you're the experts for this stuff. It's like, you know, you're an important cog if we're going to solve this problem. And so it's one of those things where don't be afraid to be an advocate for this, because it's going to be critically important in the next few years.
I want to emphasize that very point. And one thing that came up in the opening session, where we learned that from the school administrators, the average tenure is 2.8 years.
Right.
And from the hospital CEOs, it's 2.5 years. Almost everyone in that room raised their hand earlier when I asked, have any of you been at your job longer than 3 years? So you're identifying who are leaders in this community that have been there for a long time, and they can serve as conveners to bring together educators, small business, hospitals, and elected officials to solve these problems.
Well, that's a phenomenal point. And Alan, it's been so much fun just like learning about it and the different points you're bringing up. It's really amazing how much is out there and how much, I mean, we need to educate ourselves, because this problem is paramount. This, along with education, are two pillars that we definitely need to focus on.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And the one message I want to leave with is I really see rural communities as incubators for great models going forward.
Awesome. Yep.
I see them being the leaders of seeing how our healthcare system is going to be structured for the future, and recognizing, yeah, that you have a lot of challenges in there, but you're going to see innovation begin in these small towns.
That's great. That's fantastic. All right. So so what we like to do as we wind down the episodes is I like to ask two questions to our guests. The first question is our Back to the Future question. So Alan, I'm going to give you the keys to the DeLorean, which I give to everybody. So I've been.
Oh, that's exciting.
And you get to go back in time, and you get to go back 5, 10, 15 years. If there was something you could tell yourself or someone else to make this journey of telehealth in rural communities a little bit easier, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, wow. All right, so I tell myself two things. First of all, I would say, hey, focus on promoting Grow Your Own programs in these rural communities and sharing the story of communities, how they need to promote healthcare as a field for kids that are in high school to get them to come back.
Interesting.
I wish I would have promoted that a lot more. I wish our association would have promoted that a lot more. On the telehealth component of it, wow, I wish I would have known ahead of time that a lot of the financial barriers would be removing themselves over time. I sure wish we would have done a better job on promoting regulation changes to the program. It just feels like we've lost 10 years that the pandemic rescued us from.
Right. No, those are great insights. And so I would love to ask the converse. So if I give you the crystal ball, if you could look into the future 3, 5, 7 years down the line, what do you see telehealth in rural America? How do you see that rolling out?
That's a tough one.
Hey, listen, I don't ask any, you know, that's one of those things.
That's a tough one. You know what I really think? I will be dumbfounded 10 years from now, if the discussion isn't on empowering patients to take care of their own health. I just think we're going to see a tremendous reliance on wearable devices to allow people to monitor their own health easily, and other apps on our cell phone that don't cost anything, don't cost a lot of money, to allow people to take ownership of their own health, and then working through broadband applications to better manage their own healthcare, to really make sure that we're keeping healthy communities and not just dealing with sick care.
I love that last point, because I think, right, exactly, we got to make sure that it's you, when you go to the doctor, you want to be preventative care as opposed to getting instant care for a problem that you have. So a phenomenal point. And I think you're right, that technology is going to lead the way in terms of just informing people. All the different things that are popping up are just fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's hope. Let's check back in 10 years, see how close I was.
Right. What ways can folks get a hold of you if they want to learn more about yourself or your information, about your organization?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah, let's do this easy. Go on to any internet search engine, Google, Yahoo, Bing, type in the words rural health. My organization is always the first or second site that pops up.
Good ranking.
Yeah, I really like that. And on there, you can have policy tools, resource, research, and the ability to contact me. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We want to work together to improve these rural communities.
Alan, this has been an absolutely phenomenal visit. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for coming to this event. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with these folks. I'm really optimistic about telehealth in rural communities.
Well, I appreciate being here and appreciate everything that everyone is doing to try to improve rural communities and rural populations. So I'll just close by saying, go rural.
Hey, that's going to do it for this episode of the Broadband Bunch. Until next time, we'll see you later.